Welcome to our first meeting of New Year. Happy New Year. We will start out with the Pledge of Allegiance and celebration of the Michigan Wolverines. Jory, you can lead.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very good. Now, do I have to do the roll since you did the
Okay, Coke?
Here.
Transier?
Here.
Plocher?
Here.
Soling?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Merrick?
Here.
Terulis?
Here.
Cornels?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Very nice, thank you. I have no amendments to the agenda. I have no presentations. I have no public hearings. Are there citizen comments on agenda items? Happy New Year, Michael.
You might want to unmute your mic.
Oh, I have to unmute my mic. I'm sorry. Let's try that again. Is that unmuted?
Yeah, if it's green, hold it until it hits green. There you go.
Okay, I'll try it again. Good evening, Michael.
Evening.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Hello, I'm Michael Kremsky. Tonight, our comments will revolve around the proposed amendment of the liquor code regarding cocktails to go. I'm going to read a portion of an investigative summary report from the Illinois Liquor Control Commission. This report that you have in front of you stems from a complaint in 2022 involving Mayor Purcell distributing alcohol or cocktails to individuals at Hometown Days Festival. This portion of the report is from the investigator's conversation with Mayor Purcell. I quote, "I received a call from Mayor Purcell. I identified myself and informed him I was handling a complaint investigation filed with the ILCC against him. Mayor Purcell immediately thought the complaint stemmed from a previous complaint involving the drag queens. I informed him this was a different complaint. Mayor Purcell asked what was the nature of this complaint was. I informed him it had to do with Yorkville's Hometown Days Festival and him possibly handing out free alcohol. Mayor Purcell stated he was personally present at the festival. I asked Mayor Purcell if he personally had a tent set up at the festival. Mayor Purcell stated he had a tent set up for his business, Ace Hardware, which he owns. I asked Mayor Purcell if he was handing out free alcohol. Mayor Purcell stated he did give away beer and maybe a few cocktails, vodka, to a few of his friends who came to visit him at his tent, but he had no idea of how many friends he provided alcohol to. I asked Mayor Purcell where the alcohol he gave away came from. He stated it was alcohol personally purchased by him and he was not selling any alcohol. I asked Mayor Purcell in what capacity was he giving alcohol away to his friend. Mayor Purcell asked what I meant by capacity. I asked him if he was acting as mayor of Yorkville, the owner of Ace Hardware, or just a private citizen. Mayor Purcell said he never indicated any of the alcohol he gave to his friends was from the city of Yorkville or from him as mayor. He said once a person is elected mayor, it's hard for people not to recognize him as mayor. But again, he never indicated he was giving away alcohol as the mayor. Mayor Purcell stated alcohol is not restricted to certain designated areas of the festival. Individuals can purchase alcohol at the city tent, which the city of Yorkville has special use permit for issued by the ILCC and carry it anywhere on the grounds. Mayor Purcell stated anyone could have purchased alcohol at the city tent and come to visit him at his tent. I thank Mayor Purcell for his time." End quote. This portion is from the conclusion of that investigation. On September 3rd, 2022, Mayor Purcell handed out free plastic cups of an alcoholic beverage to an undetermined number of citizens who were attending Hometown Days Festival. There is no evidence to support Mayor Purcell gave away free alcohol under the special use permit 4A-0110309, issued to the United City of Yorkville by the Illinois Liquor Control Commission. There is evidence, self-admission, from Mayor Purcell he did give away free alcohol, which was personally bought by himself to attendees of the festival. Complaint is founded in that allegation is true. The mayor handed out free alcohol. However, due to that he was acting as a private citizen and not a licensed or elected official, no violations were identified. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Anyone else? Molly, good evening and Happy New Year to you.
Good evening. Thanks. Happy New Year. So Mike read you an ILCC report from 2022. I wanted to show you a video from 2023 of a similar incident at Hometown Days. It was footage of Mayor Purcell pouring and distributing Smirnoff vodka from a tent at the fair, but Bart said that wouldn't be possible at this time. I'm bringing this up now because it has been proposed that Yorkville expand the letter of its liquor code to include the sale of to-go cocktails. I'm not necessarily against expanded liquor sales, but how is it reasonable to think that we should continue to allow expanded service in Yorkville when we have a mayor who won't obey or enforce law? How is it reasonable to think that we should continue to allow expanded alcohol service in Yorkville when our own police force turns a blind eye to the mayor's violations of the liquor codes? How is it reasonable to think that we should continue to allow expanded alcohol service in Yorkville when we have a liquor control commissioner with a personal liquor control problem? This expanded code combines alcohol and driving, and it needs to be strictly regulated for the safety of the community. We are in no position to provide that kind of oversight under this current administration. We saw the same kind of lawlessness with regard to the drag shows in the summer of 2001 to 2023. Exposure of buttocks in an establishment that serves alcohol is a clear liquor control violation, but Purcell consistently denied any violation. He told the police to stand down, forcing them to choose between losing their jobs or violating the oath they took before God to uphold the U.S. and Illinois constitutions and city ordinances. Purcell also outright lied in writing to the ILCC about the obscene content of the drag shows. In this video that I wanted to show you, John Purcell, who is the mayor and the liquor control commissioner, sits with the Kendall County coroner, joined briefly by the director of Parks and Recreation and several children, as he's heavily pouring Smirnoff vodka into multiple red solo cups. A woman in the background chants, "Pour, pour, 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 pour." Anyone familiar with the layout of the park will know that this unlicensed alcohol service occurred in a tent that was within 20 feet of multiple police officers standing at the entrance of the festival. At this point, to require anyone to uphold any ordinance would be complete hypocrisy. Not only is it inappropriate to continue to expand liquor service in Yorkville, it's inappropriate to expect John to be able to regulate any of the Yorkville liquor codes. And the police need to start thinking about who they are more afraid of, the out-of-control liquor control commissioner or the God to which they swore their oath. In 2022, as Mike read, a complaint was filed against Purcell with the ILCC for this same behavior. The behavior was confirmed and the complaint was founded by Purcell's own admission, but the ILCC freed themselves from finding any violation with regard to the complaint because the complaint referenced the city's special use permit number. By coaching Purcell to claim that he wasn't identifying as a city representative during the time in which he distributed the alcohol, the ILCC could absolve themselves of any liability with regard to enforcement. He was just John Purcell, not the mayor or the liquor control commissioner. It's kind of like pleading temporary insanity, where someone claims to lack responsibility due to their transient mental state, but John was claiming a transient physical state. But if Mayor Purcell was just an Ace Hardware vendor distributing unsealed alcohol at a city event, why wasn't he stopped? At any rate, once hairs were allowed to be split, jurisdiction for controlling vendors who distribute unsealed alcohol without a liquor license fell back onto the Yorkville police, who consistently bow to the whims of the tyrant who signs their paychecks. The ILCC report does not exonerate Purcell. It simply passes the buck onto some other governmental organization where it will rest quietly between the cracks until somebody says, enough is enough. And I'm actually not here to force anyone to do anything. I don't have the power or the desire to do so under this current administration. But I know someone who does. The day of reckoning is upon us. We just saw the release of the Epstein court documents, which explained that the world was being controlled by a global pedophilic blackmail ring. It's not just government. It's well-respected actors and entertainers, news anchors, bankers and entrepreneurs, pastors, educators and scholars. They were all invited to various private places throughout the world and offered children. When they accepted, what followed was secretly videotaped. Once they got their hands dirty, they became slaves to the ones doing the blackmailing. In this instance, unfortunately, their overlords were the satanic cabal. Now the cabal rules through blackmail over the media, over arts and entertainment, over world finance, over man-made religion, over education, over government, and now even over the family. It's the same system that's controlling life here in Yorkville. It's just at a lower level. You can't hold others accountable for things in which you also partake. You can't require someone else to keep the law when you don't yourself uphold the law. So Yorkville continues to lower its standards and descends into depravity with all of its citizens in tow. We somehow think that convincing everyone to join us on this trip will justify us. As long as nobody rocks the boat, we think that we'll get away with it. Well, we aren't justified, and we won't get away with it. The boat is being rocked. Corrupt government is being exposed at every level, and corrupt politicians are being removed, just like God said would happen. We've been together at these meetings for a while now. You can't say you weren't warned. It's time for anyone who has been able to keep their heart pure and their hands clean to stand up and say, enough is enough. I know there are a few of you here. We don't need numbers. We just need a few people with passion for truth and righteousness to take a stand and lead the people of Yorkville out from under this lawless regime. Thank you.
Thank you. Very enlightening conversation for the new year. Very nice. Anyone else? Okay. Next we have consent agenda. We have quite a lengthy one, actually. We have minutes from November 28th and December 12th. Bill payments of $6,029,765.52. We have Grand Reserve Unit 3 acceptance, Unit 4 acceptance, Unit 8 acceptance, Unit 20 acceptance. Kendall Drive, we have IDOT permit resolution for 507 West Kendall Drive, that is. And we have the Treasurer's Report for November 2023. I'm looking for a motion and a second to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Cornelius and Merrick. No discussion, correct, Mr. Funkhauser?
Correct.
Roll call, please.
Coke.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Next, we have the mayor's report. And once again, I want to offer congratulations to the team from the northern state of Michigan, not Wisconsin, Dan. Sorry.
Go Packers.
Yes, yes. One more game for them to lose this year. Okay, and next we have, oh, this part's exciting. Where am I at here? The proclamation for the Yorkville Library Mini Golf Fundraiser Day, and that's February 4th. That's less than a month away already. Isn't that crazy?
Yay.
And last year, I think you had your record turnout, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. That's been great. I know Caitlin's helped a ton, hasn't she? Yeah. I was over there today getting some books, and there's all kinds of donations and stuff, even from tyrants of the community, so it's kind of nice. Anyway, we're going to go ahead with the proclamation. Whereas libraries provide access to information and also serve as community centers, and the Friends of the Yorkville Public Library is a support group for the library, and the Friends of the Yorkville Public Library strive to focus attention on library services and needs and also help to strengthen and expand library services, the Friends of the Yorkville Public Library participates in fundraising for library projects, programs, and the purchase of special equipment. Whereas the Friends of the Yorkville Public Library, in partnership with the Yorkville Public Library, are hosting a mini golf
fundraiser on Sunday, February 4th. That's the week before the Super Bowl, right? So no excuses not to be there. The roads will be plowed from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the Yorkville Public Library. Therefore, I, John Purcell, Mayor of the United City of Yorkville, hereby proclaim Sunday, February 4th, 2024, as the Yorkville Library Mini Golf Fundraiser Day in the City of Yorkville and encourage all residents to support the Yorkville Public Library. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You want this?
Yes. You can get that.
Yeah, excellent. That's awesome. And if the press were here, we'd need some pictures, but they didn't want to weather the storm, apparently. So thank you both for coming.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
Mayor, can you take it?
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm Mr. Rell's on tonight. Where do you want to do it? You? Come on up here. Yeah, Bart can do it. Yeah, hop on
it. Should be on picture.
What? Come on. I didn't get all dialed up.
Kathy
awesome.
Is the president
of
the Friends.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll see you on the board.
All right.
Excellent. Okay, next, I'm looking for a motion to approve, how much was that amount again,
$58,000?
$58,000 additional work on the Rob Roy Drainage District from the ARPA monies. Looking for a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Coke and second by, was it Plocher? Eric, do you want to explain this?
Sure, this was an omission in the first RFP. It's a small branch that branches off north, just north of Cornelius Road, and goes up behind the Oldenmore Blacktop plant. It was my mistake. I omitted it on the first RFP, and then they caught it, and so we'd like to include it while we get the work done.
And there's plenty of funding for this, correct?
There is.
And just to clarify, the quote is with Homer Tree Service, who won the original bid for the project.
Oh, thank you. That's important clarification. Questions or comments? Roll call.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Yay.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, next, we have an ordinance amending the regulations for the liquor license. Well, let's get a motion second first, and then we can explain what this is. Looking for a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Merrick, Plocher. Okay, and what this does, this extends, as you probably recall, well, most of you around, during COVID, we followed the governor's guide and allowed liquor to go. And the governor has, I don't know if he signed a bill or executive order, whatever it was, to allow the continuation through August of 28, I believe it was, correct?
Yes.
And this would just match our ordinance to that. Questions, comments? Mr. Funkhauser?
The only question I have is, how are we doing enforcement on this? Similar to, we go in and we check, you know, liquor commission, you know, we see if they're selling to minors or tobacco, we see if they're selling. With the labeling and some of the other issues that are, you know, raised in here that they have to follow through with, how are we making sure it's enforced?
We would enforce it if it's a violation of the ordinance, just an ordinance citation, and then it would go in front of the liquor commission.
So we're not, are we doing anything proactively just to make sure that, you know, let's see what you're labeling? I'm sorry, our mic is off down here. Are we doing anything to check and verify, spot check that their labeling's correct, that has all the pertinent information, because there's a lot of information required on the labels and the packaging that's required for these.
We can do spot checks when we do our alcohol compliance checks throughout the course of the year. We can absolutely add that to it, sure.
I appreciate it. It just gives me the comfort that they're following through with.
Sure.
There's a lot of information in the ordinance based on the state statute, so I want to make sure.
Was that a concern of yours you raised 3 years ago when we talked about this? I don't remember.
I think when that came through 3 years ago, it was more
To help businesses?
Helping businesses.
And now you're opposed to businesses? Is that what it is?
No.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with that. I just want to make sure that they're, you know, it's not a lack of complacency, or it's not a complacency issue.
No, that's fine. I'm just curious, you know, the change of heart.
No. Are they doing what they're supposed to do? Because obviously 3 years later, they've been doing it for a while. We're willing to support that. Are they still following through with the letter of the law, the intent of the law? You know, we're being, you know, we're allowing this to happen. So I just want to make sure that they are compliant with the rules that are out there.
Okay. Curious?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Yes.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And I know the businesses. Thank you. Okay, we're into item number 4, correct? I'm told I have to read this one. I'm looking for a motion to approve a resolution declaring certain property as surplus property and authorizing its sale, and authorizes the mayor and city clerk to execute and to approve the commercial purchase and sale agreement, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute. Is there a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Transier, Plocher. Okay, so this is for the 8 acres up by Home Depot. And we have a contract proposal with Richard Marker Associates. Is that what it's under, that legal entity?
Yeah, I believe they're doing business under the Heartland Meadows LLC that they did in the other unit.
But okay.
Effectively, it's the Marker Corporation.
And they're looking for, and again, this is a purchase agreement. They're looking for, was it, how many home sites approximately, Christy? And then 4 commercial sites, I think?
4 commercial lots.
Yes. Okay, and this is just to approve the contract. They would still have to go through the normal zoning process?
Correct.
And Bart, what is the time frame on that?
So the time frame is that they've got 5 months basically to walk away from the property with their earnest money for whatever reason. That's going to allow them basically to monitor interest rates for commercial lending, you know, do some land use planning, etc. And then the agreement is structured such that after that 5 months expire, they have a maximum of 30 days to then submit a plan to us. And then we have 180 days basically to approve it according to the requests within this purchase agreement. So if we deny the plan at any point, and the agreement does not you know, require us to approve a plan, it just says if you don't approve a plan that has different characteristics of a development within it, that they can walk away from the deal with earnest money at that point. And those things, just so we're you know, all on the same page there, in general are, they're summarized in my memo, but 4 commercial lots, B3 zoning, you know, confirmation that no detention is required in the lot because there's a regional detention basin across the street. A FELOC on water and sewer connection fees for 6 years from the date of final plat approval. Age-restricted lots, similar to what we have in Heartland Meadows, and then similar lot sizes and setbacks to what we see in Heartland Meadows, which is between 5 and 6,000 square feet, with 5-foot side yard setbacks, which is 10 feet between buildings. So again, the purchase agreement doesn't require us to approve a plan of that magnitude, just as if we decide later not to approve a plan with those characteristics, they get to walk away from the deal with earnest money.
And Bart, the commercial, or maybe this is more Christy, the commercial that's in there is similar to the commercial outlots at the Kendall Marketplace?
Yes. So the depths of the Kendall Marketplace outlots are about 230 feet deep. It's about similar to
the Okay. And then the contract is for, was it $405,000?
It is, yes.
Which is the appraised value for the amount they're buying. I think there was about 2 or 3% that we needed to keep for easements or right-of-way, so they're not purchasing that. But it's right in line with the appraised price. And I know a couple of you had asked some questions of, you know, the commercial And I spoke to the representative from them today, and they said if there's no commercial, they're not looking at doing this deal. It's just not feasible for them. And just a reminder, this came about because when we purchased the property for this site here and the building, several of the aldermen at the time, so the council, not necessarily each of you individually, but the council gave us a real clear direction to sell off properties. We sold off the property in Game Farm Road to the school district, and now we have this here. I have had people approach me directly or indirectly over the past couple of years about putting townhomes there, and I told them, in fact, I think they might have actually inquired about it at one time too. I said we had a kind of a battle on something that was approved 17 years ago for townhomes near here. I said I just there's not going to be support for that. So this is what we're bringing forward, and I ask you for support. And if you have questions, we'll be glad to entertain. Dan?
The earnest money. So if after 5 months the developer decides that it's not going to be economically viable for them to develop this parcel, they get all of their earnest money back?
Yes.
So they can pull the plug and say, give us our money, and the city doesn't get anything out of that?
Yes.
Is that normally how real estate transactions work when a buyer leaves the table, or isn't that what the earnest money is for?
I don't know the answer to that question. The provisions of the agreement were mostly negotiated between Kathy and the Marker's attorney.
Dan, I will say, not to that specific point, but similar, I did ask Lynn about this, and she said for many development agreements she's seen, there's a contingent offer based on the zoning getting approved. And if the zoning's not approved, they just walk away. It's not atypical.
Well, I can see that if we don't approve the zoning for their development, they're able to walk away from the purchase. What I don't like about giving them the earnest money back is if interest rates go up and they change their mind, the city's left with nothing except an empty parcel of land.
And which we've had for 17
years. I understand. But yeah. The earnest money is there to enforce the sale of the property. To enforce the contract.
I understand
it's a negotiating part. I imagine if we told Marker that we're not going to give them their earnest money back, if they walk away after 4 months, they're going to say, well, we're not going to buy the property anyway. But that's why the earnest money is there. I mean, most other people who purchase property, if they walk away without giving a cause, they lose their earnest money. You and I, if we went to buy a property and after 30 days say, you know, we're just not going to do it, the seller's going to say, well, we get to keep your earnest money, whatever the percentage may be. So I'm not too keen about that, but I understand it was negotiated, and it's just probably a term and condition that we have to deal with. So,
other questions, comments? Chris? Oh, wait. Greg? Yeah. Ping pong here?
as far as the four commercial buildings, as you and I discussed, I wanted some clarification. We're looking at commercial. We're not looking at anything such as automotive shops or anything that would create a noise problem for that community.
Correct.
My understanding.
Yeah. We had that discussion today when I talked to him, because I said it's been brought up. He said we're not looking to put auto shops there at all. What we're looking for is more like they have over in Heartland, next to the Silver Fox. There's a professional building there who has, I think, a dentist in there. Their offices are in there. There might be one other office. They're looking for that type of building. There might be a doctor's office. There might be a dentist's office. There might be a, you know, boutique shop, like a dress shop or something like that. But they're not looking for anything like that at all.
They're not looking for it, but is it allowed within that B3 zone?
I don't know that question or answer.
Various uses are allowed in B3. You were inquired about auto repair, that is permitted in B3.
So that might be something, as you and I discussed, when we go through this process, we could say, we'll approve this, but this use is specifically excluded. Kind of like the property now here. Keep in mind, this property now was given to the city in whatever, 03, 06, whatever it was. Part of the agreement was there would be no police station there. So there can't be a police station there, and we have a building here that suits the police, suits the admin side. So we don't need it for an admin building. We have a property for public works. And I even asked Eric this. Could we use it for anything? He says, we got a property on the north side we just bought. It doesn't make sense for public works or parks, for, you know, parks equipment. So really, there's not a lot of use for it from our perspective. But it could right now be, you know, a city building. So if that's a concern, we could definitely put that in the agreement when we go through the zoning.
I definitely think that is a concern, considering we're looking at 55 and older community, and it's so close to the residential that I would be very selective on what we would allow in there.
Christy, is that something we could include in the zoning?
Part of the PUD.
Yeah. So we could, again, we're not looking to approve the final plat. Yeah, but Christy, would you make a note of that and make sure we include that in the conversations we have with them?
The other question I had was, would this be deed restricted like the other one we just approved?
Yes. 55 and older? He told me today that's deed restricted, and this would be as well.
And were we able to figure out if it was the same as the one we just approved? Everybody has to be 55 and older to live in the...
What he told me was you have to be 55 and older to purchase it or to own it. That's in the deed. You can have college-age kids living there, but no kids who would be in the school district.
And these can't be rented out. 55-year-old can purchase it, but then they can't.
I don't know that. I really don't know that. I'm not going to speak when we're there because I don't know the answer. Other questions? Ken?
The only thing that I was looking at is, can you explain the B-lock? And why that's in there. I thought we were trying to get away from doing that. I mean, I know some places were stuck with it from a long-term deal, but I thought with the water situation stuff, we were trying to get away from doing feedlots.
It's something that the developer requested. We went back and forth. Their original request was actually for a much longer term. And then they were also asking for a variable term in that, they were hoping to get it whatever they actually developed. So if they purchased it and then sat on it for a couple of years, they were hoping VLOC would, go from whenever they pulled their first building permit. Told them no, that didn't seem reasonable. All other developments that we've done has been kind of final plat approval or, whatever that final, city council action is. So that's what they said they needed to do for some cost certainty. I don't recall if we did it in Heartland Meadows, per se, off the top of my head.
I don't know.
And we've done it in some of the developments here and there. So, I had anticipated that might be a point of discussion, but that's what they requested, we were able to come to terms within that, discussion.
Is that something that, as we go forward into the PUD process, that can be discussed? On if we're going to do the VLOC and how that's...
Yes, absolutely, okay. In that... The agreement, again, says they're asking for it, and if we don't approve an agreement that has that within it, they are allowed to walk. So if we could, theoretically, approve a final plat in an agreement that has all the other things that they ask for, except for that, and they may change their mind at a later date and say, that's okay, I'm still going to move forward with it, if ultimately the group's decision is, this is not palatable to us or defensible, and we just don't want it. So that remedy for them, again, is walking with their money. So certainly if it's an issue now, probably better to work it out on the front end, but it doesn't preclude you from authorizing the agreement and then saying no later. And if that's something that we don't want to consider moving forward, it would be helpful when we're talking to other developers to know that. I figured in general, national home builders, people with very large developments that are going to be spread over multiple years of construction probably were less favorable to it. I thought maybe because it was a local developer, we own the property, so we can put in some different restrictions if we need to. And they're probably going to build it in a relatively reasonable amount of time. I felt that it was reasonable at least for negotiating it with them and then getting in front of all of you for discussion.
That help Ken or?
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that we were talking about that.
And it's just the sewer connection fee, which has not been touched in 20 years. That's $2,000 per unit.
You said just the sewer? Or
and the it's the sewer and water connection fee. So it doesn't lock all fees. It doesn't lock the water meter. It doesn't lock the building permit. Doesn't lock the impact fees, parks, school, land camp fees, all the municipal building impact fees we have.
doesn't touch any of those. It just touches the water connection fee and the sewer connection fee.
Other questions? Chris?
So, on that, 6 years is a long time, even for what I'm seeing in the development market. Looking at some of the larger projects, you know, I'm lucky to get 5 years on something that's got 800 units. So, you know, protecting the city on that, I'd be more comfortable with a few years versus 6 years. 6 years with 20 units and then the four buildings, it's a long time to lock it, I think, especially with some of the issues that we have out there. I'd be willing to say we need to work that out more here than later in the actual agreements because of the way that the, you know, the contract.
Well, what would you be comfortable with?
I'd say maybe 3 years.
3 years?
We lock it for 3 years.
3 years units. From when?
Well, the way it's written, I think it was from the
final plat approval.
Yes, from.
So
from
3 years from then?
Yeah.
Okay, what Ken?
Yeah, Ken.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that we were going to think of that. Okay, yeah.
This part says, I don't know this up now, up front. Yeah. I'm just go back and say, here's what we'd like to see. And again, this is not the zoning approval, but here's some of the things we want to see. And, you know, if they're not in favor of it, they can tell us now it's not going to work and we can reconsider or we can say, that's fine. This is the only real offer we've had on this with something that I thought had legitimate shot to pass the council. Again, I'm not looking to put townhomes there, and I don't know if any of you are, but I sure the heck am not. So anyone else on the 3 years versus six, is that something we'd be willing to support if we brought that back? Craig?
I'm fine either way.
I'm sorry?
I'm fine either way.
Okay. Matt?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, Seaver?
My only problem is I'd hate to see commercial go into the, or any kind of commercial. That'd be my only opposition.
Okay. Dan?
3 or 6 years, the feedlot is fine. And it'll be more than three after they get the final plat. So it's probably going to stretch it out to at least four or four and a half by the time they get the final plat. So six or three with the feedlot, I'm fine with.
Rusty?
Yeah.
Yes to which?
Go with three or... Yeah.
Three. Chris, three? Yeah, what other concerns? Oh, wait, Joe, you're heading back there. I forgot.
He's back in.
Joe?
Yeah, either or, I don't care.
Okay, Chris?
Yeah, the three-year term.
Okay, let me ask you this, because I've seen you do this with other deals. You say okay to something else, but what about the rest of it? Well, what about the rest of it?
That's one point.
Because I don't want to play this game where you say, yeah, I can support it, and then we bring it back, no. and you say no.
So I'll go through the other concern.
Okay.
Obviously, I had concern about the commercial here. That is something that they're saying they have to have
here. He told me that point blank. He says, we're not looking to do it if we don't have it.
Yeah, it's not something. I've been supportive of selling this property. Plain simple. So
I think you were one of them, yeah.
I'm not one of those that wants to kill this deal because, you know.
Okay, that's good. That's
I don't
good
think
to
that
know.
It's the commercial is a good use here. But if it's something that needs to happen in order to make this sale happen, I'm going to acquiesce on the commercial.
Now, okay.
One point that's in the agreement that I want to bring up and then a couple that I just want to put on the record for discussion. The 5-yard side yard setbacks, is that what we had at Heartland Meadows or the other?
Yeah.
Okay.
5-yard, 10-to-10
building. 5 foot.
They're working with the architecture to ensure it's got fire rating for the fire marshal. Okay, yeah. So as long as that's consistent,
it's 5 foot.
All right. Something for us to talk through and work through as we go through the process. The three lots that face Northland.
I don't know if it's three, it might be four.
I think there's two of them that are facing the internal street, and three that face Northland.
Okay,
so
okay.
The lots that are already out there are 80 foot wide. The ones being proposed are 57 to 60 feet. I would like to see if the developer can widen those lots. They don't have to be 80, but maybe it's, you know, maybe get them to 70 feet, something, so that the transition, it fits a little better. So as they work through to get to the preliminary and final, see if that can be something that they can address. So obviously it's not something that's in the agreement, but it's a work through.
What if they say we can't make it work and do the deal? I'm putting you on the spot because I've seen you do this before.
I'm not going to say no to it because I want to sell this property.
Okay.
I want to get it go. But
I don't have a problem
really
asking
the developer to see if they can do that. I think it would be, if we can make that as a condition that they work with that to try to get it to fit in.
Christy, can we do that? Ask them to work with that?
You can ask them.
Yeah, no, I mean, we can't. I mean, but say, hey, this is a request. Can we look at that?
I mean, we have to approve the plats. It's, there, so there's three things that I wanted to work on. It's that, parking restriction concerns. Right now, parking on Northland is on the east side of the road.
Okay.
So we're putting in a new street, and then there's going to be three more driveways. With the ball field there, with the parking being on the east side, we're reducing the amount of spaces that are there. So with that, this comes to what happens when they build these buildings, if they're daytime uses, like offices, whatnot. I would like us to see, is there ability to have a discussion of possibly using some of those spaces for parking for the park? Because we know what's gonna happen is people are gonna park there anyways. So when they're going through this process, I don't want them to get upset that, you know, people are gonna be parking in their space. So work through that. But then the internal street, we need to do some restrictive parking because the south is commercial, but the north where we've got the narrow lots, kind of like what we've got over Heartland, those are narrow lots, driveways are gonna be, you know, every 50 feet, it gets kind of tight. So we might have to do restrictive parking, which is possibly gonna put more pressure on that neighborhood with the park. So we may not wanna have people coming to the park for ball games, parking within those two streets. It's kind of a, it's a public street, but it's trying to manage that neighborhood so that you don't have a lot of congestion issues within those.
I think that's a fair concern. I'm not comfortable saying that should be part of the sale agreement.
And that's, I think those 3 points are part of the plan as we move forward. I just wanted it on the record now that these are concerns.
So are you saying there should be no street parking there, or limit street parking to people?
Probably one side. You know, limit it to one side, and we just have to work through how that parking is managed.
I guess that's something we'll have to look at during the process.
Yeah.
Because we've been...
Things can change.
Yeah, and we have not... I'm not going to say we never do it, because we just approved one recently, but... We generally do not restrict on-street parking in the community because sometimes people need on-street parking.
Right. The typical places are around ball fields, parks, curbs that are problematic. That's our typical use. So that's where I wanted to make sure. And with these being narrow lots, we're going to have a lot of pressure.
They did tell me, and not necessarily everyone, but they did tell me that these lots will be a little bit wider than the ones in Heartland. Meadows, is that over by me? Heartland Meadows, yeah. They said they'd be a little bit, not the standard 80-foot wide lots, but a little bit wider. So
there's a lot of variety in there, a lot of widths, actually.
Yeah,
because it's an odd shape site.
It is, and that's why they couldn't put residential in the whole thing. They said, we looked and looked. We said, we just can't make it work. So, okay, other questions, comments?
Just for clarification, when we went down the line talking about the FELOCs, you said you were fine. Is that fine in response to the 3-year or the original 6?
I'm okay with the original 6, but I'd like to have the discussion.
Okay.
If the move, I know you've been some time before to do, so you probably have a you probably have a good deal point on whether or not we'll move that.
Okay, other questions or comments?
Understood. Thanks.
I
had the same concern that Chris had regarding parking.
So then we don't want to vote on this, correct? Because we want to go back to them on the... Just see, were there other things we need to discuss with them? Dan, do you want us to see about phrasing a little differently on the...
Well, I could see them saying, if you're not going to give us our earnest money back in 4 months, if interest rates skyrocket, then they won't agree to sign a purchase contract. So for now, I'm not going to make it a deal breaker, but in the future, when these types of...
When we're selling other property?
Right. Try not to give the purchaser carte blanche to walk away with no reason.
So along those lines, good point, Dan. Bart, do we have in there a specific time frame they have to submit by?
It is generally 6 to 12 months from whenever we approve the purchase agreement.
Okay.
So it gets a little bit more complicated than that. They can submit at any time. They can submit next week, and then we have 6 months.
But to Dan's point, what if they say we're not going to submit for 5 years? Are we holding this property up?
No, it would allow us to cancel the...
It would? Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if we if they never submit to us, then we can push them out.
Okay.
So I was more concerned just about that 4-month time frame where they can sit and do nothing and then say...
The first 5 months.
Yes. Yeah. The first 5 months.
Dan, that's fair, but we've had no interest in this whatsoever. So I'm like,
I understand that.
You know what? But flip a coin on that one.
The reason for earnest money is to keep both parties of the contracts on the same level.
Yeah.
Right. To close the deal. Because what you don't want to see is the property value plummet for whatever reason, and then the city end up holding this parcel of land that was once valued at $415,000, and in 6 months valued at $215,000, because it has happened in the past. So, and again, I don't want to make this the end-all, be-all hill I'm going to die on with this, but in the future, and I don't know how many more parcels of land the city has to negotiate the sale of, there's got to be something that the city has to hold on to if someone walks away from the sale of or the purchase of a property. Because that's the way it is everywhere, you know? Commercial properties, private residential properties, everyone has their money to keep them moving towards closing in good faith. So
we will see if we can tighten that up. I'm not going to promise anything.
Yeah, but with this one, I'm not going to make it the stinker, and I'm not going to say
no. You're not going to die on that hill.
No. Okay. And that's good to know. But Seaver brought up the concern about the commercial. I have concerns about the commercial as well, and only because I see a large amount of vacant commercial properties throughout the city. And if the markers think they can build these and sell them or rent them, more power to them. But I would also like to see, and I know Lynn goes full speed ahead trying to fill the other commercial vacancies in town every day of the week. But that is my concern about the commercial. But it is not going to be a deal breaker for me as well. So.
Okay. Other questions, comments? Okay, so because we're not going to vote on it until another meeting, but it will change a little bit, is that considered the same deal, a different deal? Should we just... Who made the motion second? No, let's just remove the motion in the second if we could. You okay with removing the motion in the second?
Sure.
And Mr. Poacher, you okay with that?
Sure.
Okay, that way, because it's going to change slightly.
Sure.
And we'll bring it back, hopefully next meeting, if you're all okay with that. Perfect, thank you. Good discussion, thank you. Kind of like a committee of the whole, huh? Okay. What do we got here?
Public Works.
Public Works.
Public Works. Oh, all right. Cruise right along.
Three items. Item one, a motion to approve the Route 47 water main relocation. Water Park Way to Bertram Drive. Agreement for professional services and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second?
Second.
I heard Plocher, barely, up front of whoever that was on the other side. Any discussion? This is part of the state project. They will reimburse us. Is that correct, Bart?
Yes.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Oh, I had a question.
Oh, sorry, Dan.
We're passing this, or we're voting on this, with the expectation that IDOT would reimburse the city.
Correct.
Has IDOT ever not reimbursed the city in this type of situation in the past?
They have not. They've put it in writing, in email, that they will do so, and they have sent us a memorandum, one-sided, that says that they will do so, and I would anticipate the follow-up intergovernmental agreement, which will require both sides to vote on, which will formally commit them to do so, will be in front of us in a month or two.
Okay. So we're not worried about IDOT leaving us holding the bag?
No. They're actively moving forward with the construction plans for this in hopes to get it bid out, and we are one of the hurdles along the way.
Thank you.
Okay, other questions? Good question. Roll call.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Koch.
Next item is a motion to approve the Center Street Water Main Extension Agreement for Professional Services and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second?
Second.
Transier. This is similar to the one we just approved. The sanitary district will reimburse us 100%. Is that correct?
It is. Again, it's a contract to the EEI, for this time for $96,000 and change. They've committed to this verbally, and they're actively expanding their plant, and they need this project to do so.
Questions, comments? Have we ever had, along Dan's question in the last one, any concerns that they won't reimburse us?
We have not had any issues with YBSD. I usually feel a little bit more comfortable with YBSD's verbal commitments than I would with IDOT's, so yes, for whatever that's worth.
Perfect. I would agree. Chris.
I was going to say, so
should they fail to reimburse us, we could withhold fees from. Is it
maybe
possible?
I mean, we would certainly try to, and we would, you know, discuss.
I can't see them not
with them or with our attorneys any legal action we could take. And I did state in the memo that this one and the other one is at risk, you know, so there is some risk in proceeding yeah. forward. But
do you want to go into executive session to discuss potential litigation on this?
No.
Okay. Just making sure, Mr. Soling.
They did discuss this at one of the recent board meetings, and therefore seemed very much in favor of the agreement.
Thank you. See, when liaisons actually appear at their meetings, we get good feedback. So maybe one of us ought to appear at another meeting. Okay. What's that?
Library
I was thinking that. Any discussion further? Roll call, please.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Culp?
One more item. A motion to approve the Lake Michigan allocation permit, engineering work, change order number one, in amount of $18,288, and authorize the mayor to execute.
Second.
Second by Seaver. Very nice. Discussion? Roll call.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Thank you. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Did you watch the game last night, Ken? Just curious.
Yes, I watched.
Who are you rooting for?
Say it.
No comment.
Say it. Hey, either way, both those teams will beat you next year in the Big Ten.
We play them close.
Dan, did you have any interest in that game?
Did.
And positive?
Pre-snap penalties are a killer. That's all I have to say.
Oh, that's funny. EDC, do we have anything from EDC?
No report.
Okay, public safety?
No report.
Okay, admin committee?
I have a report.
Thank you.
That is ADM 2023-50, the last of the 2023 motions. A motion to approve an ordinance approving master power supply agreement with MC Squared Energy Services and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second
by Solon. Bart, this is similar to what we've done in the past, what, 4 or 5 years now?
Yep. Last time, I think, was 2020, if I remember correctly. Expired in 2022. It's an electric aggregation. There really is no impact to the resident. They won't see any real change in their electric bill, but it allows the city to collect basically $2,000 a month for the 20-month term of the contract. So. Arnie from Progressive is here in case we have any questions, but if approved, we'd be looking to implement this. I think it's a May 1 start, which means the letters that go out to residents informing them of the change will occur sometime in March and April.
Any questions?
A couple.
Yes, sir.
Did you guys do the Kendall County Unincorporated one as well?
Yeah.
Have you been getting many resident inquiries on that?
We did get probably a couple dozen calls a day for a week.
For about a week.
I would expect a similar for the city of New York, though. We asked if when the city gets those calls to route them to Progressive Energy, we got about six people that are trained to answer those type of questions. It's a little bit more complicated with the multiple letters than the last time. So, and back in 3 years ago when you ran the last aggregation. For whatever reason, this city tends to generate more phone calls than the other communities we work with.
Sure. Thank you.
Yes, Ken.
So,
don't run too far.
I think he's got the meeting, but the solar, people that have solar on the roofs, you said, are going to probably be, that's going to be a separate group, right? Because you said they'll be better off with ComEd, or they have to do ComEd, is that?
Yeah, people who have solar on their roof, they should have, and 99% of them have what they call a net metering agreement with ComEd. So they'll get a letter telling them about the aggregation. The letter will also basically say, since you have solar on your roof, you should stay at the program you're currently on. Because you don't want to give up net metering with solar.
Okay. And then who would the city will be the person that takes these phone calls? Because I'm pointing them right to that person, whoever it is.
Front desk, City Hall. So that'll be sent out in the letters. It will train.
You'll have a special person.
We'll train our front desk staff basically to answer the basic questions. And anything beyond the basic questions, we defer to Progressive. Because they have their own call center, basically.
I don't want them people calling here and then I don't want to be told later that, oh, yeah, you didn't want to answer my question for whatever reason. I get that complaint sometimes, and that's why I want to make sure whoever we put there to do that is communicating appropriately.
Yeah. The last time that we did this, too, the highest level questions, either myself or Aaron or Rob or the front desk staff would handle. And then if it was in the weeds about, you know, net metering or the variable price letter or just, you know, questions more about the basics of it, then we turn that over to Progressive and let them spend the time to inform Progressive.
Other questions? Don't run yet. There might be other questions. Okay, Ron. Thank you. Sandra.
I got one more, but it's Nick.
Oh.
He's good. Yes,
okay.
Are we going to be pumping this out in the city social media, too?
For sure. Okay. Yeah. And your question about the county, we actually got probably 2 or 3 phone calls from city residents and or county residents for whatever reason asking about the county's aggregation program. And I know that there was a couple, I think, next door posts about it that kind of confused the two issues. So we did a little bit of clarification with a small group of people a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, kind of saw that personally in the early social media realms because I think those letters came out in December.
They did. Yeah, they're a couple months ahead of us.
Yep. So.
Other questions? Roll call.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Anything else?
No further report.
Park Board, anything we need to be aware of?
No report.
Planning and Zoning Commission?
No report.
City Council?
No report.
City Clerk?
No report.
Community and Liaison? You reported about the sanitary, so anything else? Nothing? KenCom, anything we need to be aware of?
Nothing, KenCom. I will say I did have, before Christmas, the CVB had our annual kind of luncheon event, combined with our business meeting for the month and whatnot, went through financials, and we were announced that we received an additional grant from the state, which was unanticipated. So it was an additional $100,000+ that goes into that budget, but also Kane County had COVID relief funds, which are being earmarked for the CVB to use for marketing. More regional destination, kind of like Stewart Sports Complex, but that was several $100,000 that is going to be funneled through the CVB for the CVB to use for marketing of the region as a whole. You know, it's obviously not specific to Yorkville, but it's the area. And, you know, when you bring in those big tournaments and events at places like Stewart, it does have an impact for us. And so just the ability to utilize those funds and funnel it through, it's basically taken our budget from, you know, the several $100,000, it more than with those, the grant additional money and that, it's more than 250% of our annual budget.
That's awesome.
It's something that's going to be having an impact for the next 3 years, the way that those funds are put in there. So, and also we were able to renew a contract with Aurora, which increased their contribution. We've got a multi-year contract with them, but it hasn't increased on that. So we're getting back to where the organization used to be with funding. So, but it's been a very, very good few years with the CVB, and I'll be able to bring back some metrics here soon based on our Datafy cellular phone tracking data. So it's very interesting, a little scary of what information we can get on pinging people's phones when we've sent out our information on, you know, what our events are, what they the information is, people sign up. We can see exactly where they're at that are receiving it, and who actually came here, how long they stayed, and where they went. So it's pretty interesting, but we can truly track down the how our marketing is actually working. to get people here.
So a government arm is tracking people? Interesting. It's okay, just curious.
President.
Okay. Well, and I did hear you say it's for 3 years, which 3 years fills out your term. So I think I heard you volunteer. You want to be on there for at least 3 more years. Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate that. Okay. Anything else on the liaison reports? Staff report?
The reports.
Mayor's report? Anything on the buildings or the water?
Nope, I spoke too soon. I think Eric's got a small report about snow.
I just wanted to give a shout out to the Public Works and Parks crews for the great job they did snow plowing today. They were on at 3 a.m. and they didn't quit until 6 p.m. and they'll be on at 3 a.m. again tomorrow.
The roads were great.
Yeah, they did a good job. I even saw a Facebook post my wife sent me that Yorkville's and Kendall County's roads were better than their whole community.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you. All right, it was awesome. Anything else? Additional business? Oh, 2 minutes over. Citizen comments? Executive session?
No thanks.
No thanks? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Soling, Clocher, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.